Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And joining me back after a short, well, kind of longish break, is Billboard's deputy editor digital, Katie Atkinson. Welcome back, Katie.
Oh my goodness, hello, how are you?
I am fine. How are you and your baby?
I am great, and he is great, and I'm so happy to be back. But I also wish I was cuddling him right now. So it's kind of a balance of those two things.
Well, here's a surprise I didn't tell you, but our special guest interview this week is with your son.
Oh, Calvin's here.
Yay!
Special guest Calvin.
He'll just be cooing his way through the interview.
He does talk quite a bit now, Keith. It should be a good one.
Now, we've talked about this already a little bit, a tiny bit, but has he responded to any music? Have you already indoctrinated him into the world of Justin Timberlake?
I feel like I have not, and I actually have the Lullaby Justin Timberlake album came out literally during his birth month, which seemed apropos, but I have not had him listen to that yet. But I was telling Keith that so far his favorite song, the song that had the most positive impact on him, was Perfect by Ed Sheeran, which came on a very traumatic trip to the doctor's office. He was crying, wailing in the back seat. That song comes on, the crying stops immediately. So thank you, Ed Sheeran.
Wow.
if you're listening.
Maybe this is part of the reason why Ed Sheeran is so popular, because his music, you know, Babies
resonates
respond
from 0 to 80.
How was Baby's first Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was good. He actually was like drooling during it, as if he knew what turkey, you know,
right,
tastes like.
it's like then again, he drools all the time.
Yeah, this is true.
So, I had a nice long Thanksgiving weekend too.
Luxurious.
It was one of those weekends, and this will only make sense if you listening have those long holiday weekends, because I know some people don't.
Sure. Some people are working at the stores on Black Friday.
Absolutely. But at some point on Saturday morning, it was like, I wasn't sure what day it was. Because it was too long of a weekend.
That's a good feeling.
I saw a movie twice.
What did you see? Did you see Coco?
No.
Oh, I just assumed, Disney fan that you are, that was what you were going to say.
I saw Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, how was it?
It was very good.
Obviously, it was good. You chose to see it a second time.
I paid money to see it twice.
It looks like a beautiful movie.
It is.
Just beautiful. It's visually stunning.
It's like more than 2 hours of luxuriating in northern Italy, swimming, biking in the countryside.
Yes.
And like the music is amazing and whatever. I'm going to pull it all back.
Hey, it's all music related what we're chatting about.
Trust me. I'm trying to make magic happen. Who knows? We could have an entire podcast around this entire movie. But let's move on.
Armie Hammer is our next guest.
If only. As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got news about Psy's Gangnam Style hitting yet another milestone on YouTube, the passing of the chart-topping David Cassidy, and a preview of our Billboard Women in Music event this week, where we're honoring Selena Gomez and other leading ladies in the biz.
Plus, in charts news, Taylor Swift does something no one has done in 4 months on the Billboard 200 chart. Portugal the Man sets an all-time longevity record on the alternative songs chart. And will Pentatonics make a return trip to number one on the Billboard 200 with its A Pentatonic Christmas album? A Pentatonics Christmas album.
Probably. Christmas. That album is so popular. So, yes.
Pentatonics and Christmas. Probably. It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So we're going to jump right back into it.
Yes.
First podcast back, let's hit some of the biggest headlines over on Billboard.com. So Psy's blockbuster Gangnam Style music video has officially reached 3 billion views on YouTube. Only the third video to do so. Gangnam Style got 3 million views, the Korean artist tweeted on Sunday, followed by a thanks to his fans. The only other two videos to reach the milestone are Luis Fonsi's Despacito, featuring Daddy Yankee, and Wiz Khalifa's See You Again, featuring Charlie Puth.
Wow.
Psy made history back in 2012 when Gangnam Style became the first viral video to achieve more than 1 billion views on YouTube. The music video held first place on the streaming platform up until a few days prior to the 5th anniversary of that milestone earlier this year, when See You Again surpassed Psy's song as the most viewed video ever. And now Despacito has overtaken both videos.
And Despacito did it in like less than a year.
So little time, yeah.
Like it came out in the springtime. Well, actually, maybe it came out. I don't know. Despacito is older than we think because most people didn't become aware.
It didn't come in the springtime. It was like January. I think. Wow. But this year, it came out this year. And what might surprise a lot of American pop fans is that it's the version without Justin Bieber that surpassed 3 billion.
There's no video that features Justin.
Yeah. So, like, Despacito. I think a lot of people credited Bieber hopping on that remix for like its success, but globally that song is just a force.
I'm pretty sure, and unrelated to the video thing, and well, I was going to digress about Despacito, but I won't. But I'm still amazed that so many people are still watching Gangnam Style YouTube.
I mean, it's really fun. I haven't watched it in a while, and now I kind of want to go back and watch
this
it.
Is how they get you.
All right, moving on to some sad news. Partridge Family star and 1970s teen idol David Cassidy died last week at age 67 following a recent hospitalization for multiple organ failure. It was his iconic role as Keith Partridge, son of Shirley Partridge, who was played by real-life stepmother Shirley Jones, that rocketed Cassidy to stardom when the show hit screens in 1970. Cassidy parlayed his fame from the show into a short career as a recording artist, and actually Keith rounded up his 10 biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits, topped, of course, by the Partridge Family classic, I Think I Love You.
I Think I Love You.
That is such a good song.
What am I so afraid of? I'm afraid I'm not sure of the love there is no cure for.
A different Keith singing the song.
I Think I Love You is David Cassidy's biggest hit on the Hot 100. What we did was we took David Cassidy's solo material as well as the Partridge Family material because... though on the TV show The Partridge Family, which was about a family of singers.
Singing, yeah, a family band.
Kind of loosely based on the Cow's Hills, I think, which was a successful recording act.
How about the Von Trapps?
Sure. Any singing family troupe. The Partridge Family on the TV show, it was portrayed as if they were singing all of the songs on that you saw them perform on TV, kind of like the Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
But the only voices you heard on those songs that were in the show were actually David Cassidy and, to a small degree, Shirley Jones. Basically, Shirley Jones, I read interviews when I was doing this. Shirley Jones joked in old interviews was saying, I have a gold plaque on my wall that says Shirley Jones on it for this single, but really I know I'm barely on the track. Like, you know, she's like, you know, maybe shaking a tambourine and like saying, I think I love you.
She was an accomplished musical Broadway actress.
It's not like
so
she can't
capable,
sing.
But...
But David Cassidy really sang lead on all the Partridge Family tracks for the most part. So of course, I Think I Love You was number one on our chart, and it spent 3 weeks at number one on the Hot 100 back in 1970. Strange thing, the artist billing on the single was not just the Partridge Family, but it was the Partridge Family starring Shirley Jones and featuring David Cassidy.
It's really bizarre.
So if you think our chart credits today are
wonky, complicated,
back then it was already kind of kooky. And some of the other big hits on their top 10 is number five, I Woke Up in Love This Morning, another Partridge Family hit. And interestingly, there's actually a solo single from David Cassidy on here. He has a couple on here, actually. But number six was called Lion to Myself, which was his final Hot 100 hit back in 1990. It went to number 27 on the Hot 100.
Wow.
And it's one of those things. I think he probably had that hit probably to a degree because I think Donny Osmond had come back recently with Soldier of Love in that same era. So there was like this resurgence of 70s teen idols
That's
coming
so
back in the early 90s. Yeah.
Well,
but sad.
Thankfully, we have some happier news to end on here. Our annual Billboard Women in Music event goes down this Thursday, and you can watch it all live via Twitter.
Yeah.
Pop Shop's very own Keith Caulfield will be on the red carpet, along with Billboard News host Chelsea Briggs, to talk to all the women who have made waves in the music world in 2017. This year's Woman of the Year is Selena Gomez, but there are plenty more women to honor, including Mary J. Blige, Kelly Clarkson, Camila Cabello, Grace Vanderwaal, and Kehlani, some of whom will also be performing on Thursday.
Yeah.
We've lined up Kelly, Camila, Kehlani, and Grace all to perform as well. And the Women in Music red carpet pre-show and award ceremony are scheduled to live stream via Twitter. It's November 30, Thursday, from 6 to 9 p.m. PT, 9 p.m. to midnight ET. So, Keith, you will be there. What are you most excited about for the event?
Well, I'm excited because I am not going to stress out as much as I did last year when Chelsea and I co-hosted our red carpet, which was live streaming as well.
Yes.
But the show wasn't live streamed last year.
So you're saying Madonna's not going to be there.
Madonna
this year.
Won't be there. So I have a little, my stress level's
as far as
a little.
We know.
As, yeah. So I'm looking forward to not being stressed out.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to being able to talk to all the fabulous ladies that we're honoring. Selena, Camila, Kehlani.
Kelly Clarkson.
We've got a lot of alliteration there.
Yes.
Cabello, Clarkson, Kehlani.
It's true.
Come on, Grace.
Can
we call you Grace? And also a lot of the female executives that are on the biz side. People that run departments at record labels or important, booking agents or, heads of labels, mm-hmm. in fact. I mean, so it's just a great celebration, and you come out of that event, even if you're not a woman, you feel very empowered.
Yeah.
It's just a very uplifting ceremony, and I just look forward to chatting with all the ladies on the carpet.
Yes.
So make sure to tune in. It'll be on Twitter. I think it'll be kind of like what we did for the Grammy Awards.
Yeah.
Where basically if you go to Twitter starting at 6 p.m., Pacific or 9 p.m. Eastern.
It'll ask you right there if you want to tune in.
Yeah, it'll be there. You can just start watching.
Yep.
And the whole shebang is going to be live streamed. So if you tune in, you can watch the first hour with Chelsea and I. We'll be talking to people on the carpet. And then I think we might have some backstage action as well. We might have a correspondent backstage. And then if you don't go anywhere, you will see the full show with performances by Camila and Kelly and more. So
the whole unedited thing too, because we've been on Lifetime the last couple of years and it's a curated show. You're going to see all of it.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yay, Keith.
Yeah.
And you'll see Keith.
You'll see me. tune in. Oh, and now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Well, let's run the Billboard chart numbers and do the chart chat. Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts. Number one, Taylor Swift's Reputation spends a second week at number one, doing something that no album has done in 4 months.
What is it?
We'll find out. Number two, Portugal the Man's Feel It Still breaks a long-standing chart record. What is it? And number three, can Pentatonix return to number one on the Billboard 200 with an album that was number one back in January? Will they? I don't know. All right, so let's break down each of these individually. First up, Taylor Swift's Reputation album racks up a second week at number one on the Billboard 200 as the set earned 256,000 equivalent album units in the week ending November 23rd, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 232,000 were in traditional album sales. Of course, the set debuted at number one a week ago with just, a little 1.238 million units, of which 1.216 million were in album sales, the 10th largest sales week in Nielsen Music history, dating back to 1991.
Wow.
Now, amazingly, Reputation is the first album to actually spend more than a single week at number one in 4 months. Jay-Z's 444 or 444?
444.
I always get it wrong. 444 topped the list for 2 weeks back on July 29th and August 5th. So that means, if you're doing your math, We've had 16 number one albums between Jay-Z and Taylor that spent just 1 week at number one, and all 16 of them debuted at number one and then fell from the top slot.
It's the Taylor's the first to do it in Calvin's lifetime.
That's true.
That's the unit of measurement I use.
Everything is now relating to a unit of Calvin's.
Yeah. Not Calvin's. Not Calvin's.
Yes. But Calvin's. Also, Reputation is the first album by a woman to rack up more than a single week at number one in more than a year and a half. Rihanna's Anti was the last to do so with two non-consecutive weeks at number one on the February 20th and April 2nd, 2016 dated charts. It's a rotating door at the top of the Billboard 200.
That's cool. Give everyone a shot.
Unlike the Hot 100.
Yeah, where people just stay there and never go leave.
Yeah. By the way, Post Malone is still number one with Rockstar.
Oh, wow.
So, Camila's
Camila.
Still number two. It's not an incredibly exciting top 10.
Good job, Post Malone, but Havana is such a good song, and I totally want it to be a number one.
Me too.
We'll see.
You know, it's funny. We want it to, but the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's
they,
true.
They add up to something else.
I'm doing my part by streaming it on Spotify.
Are you one of those fans or just like, let's stream it a bunch of
times?
No,
I'm not. I don't just like leave it open on my computer on repeat. Don't worry.
All right. Next up, Portugal, The Man's Feel It Still spends its 20th week at number one on the Alternative Songs Airplay chart. The most weeks ever at number one in the chart's 29-year history. Stating the obvious, this means Feel It Still has been the most played song on alternative rock radio stations for the past 5 months. Longer than Calvin's been alive.
To put it into perspective.
To put it in, you know, a measure of Calvin's. The multi-format hit, which has charted on a bunch of other airplay charts, beats the previous number one longevity record held by Muse's Madness, back in late 2012 and early 2013. It, of course, spent 19 weeks at number one. You might be surprised to learn that Feel It Still wasn't just the band's first number one on the alternative songs chart, but also their first top 10 hit. Previous to Feel It Still, they notched four songs on the list, going only as high as number 15 with Purple, Yellow, Red, and Blue.
We all remember that one.
That big hit back in 2013. Sorry, Portugal, the Man.
Yeah, no, their trajectory is fascinating.
No, I mean, no one knew. Mainstream people did not know who they were.
This is a band whose name I have heard for like a decade.
Yes.
But would not have been able to name a single song by them until now.
Yes. I'm sure they're just as kerfluffled and perplexed.
It's a great song.
Yeah. And lastly, back on the Billboard 200 chart, an album that was number one back in January returns to the top five. Pentatonix's A Pentatonix Christmas.
You got it.
Yeah, which was released a little over a year ago, but was reissued recently with additional new songs, climbs 17 to 5 with 47,000 units, up 131%, and selling 40,000 albums, which is up 150%. The album jumps back to the top 10 as consumers start shifting into holiday music mode. The set is one of four Christmas albums within the top 40 of the Billboard 200 this week, and the title will likely see another significant gain next week on the chart, following the premiere of the group's new NBC TV special, A Very Pentatonix Christmas, which debuted on Monday night, November 27th, and because the album has been sale priced in the iTunes store for just $6.99.
Oh, yeah. All this adds up.
I feel like this could be the week that they do it, because depending on what happens on December 1st and December 8th, December 1st we have a new album by U2, mm-hmm. a new Miguel album, maybe Chris Stapleton, I think, maybe. I could be wrong. I should know
so.
This. This is not on our script. And then December 8th is Stapleton, or December 8th is Luke Bryan. There's still a couple big guns coming.
Yeah.
But what Pentatonix did, they were actually number one in January, but those are our chart-dated January.
Mm.
So really, our charts are dated in advance.
It was that Christmas week.
It was like the 2 weeks around Christmas, basically.
Yeah.
So if they don't do it next week, they could probably do it as we actually knock on Christmas's door.
Yeah.
If Taylor doesn't, you know, have something to say about it.
Which, she very well might.
She look what you made her do. And now, it's time for the chart stat of the week.
Woohoo!
This week in 1991, Billboard's signature songs chart, the Billboard Hot 100, entered the computer-monitored age.
Sounds so Big Brother.
That's actually in quotes. That was, I think, the wording that we used back in 1991.
I love that.
On the chart dated November 30th, 1991, the Hot 100 transitioned from a ranking combining ranked airplay and sales reports submitted by radio stations and retailers, respectively, to one based on electronically monitored airplay and sales by Nielsen Music. It was a huge change. For the first time since the chart started in 1958, we actually knew exactly, in detail, how many copies of a single were sold each week and how many times it was played on the radio. Before then, it was us
trusting
the most trustworthy people who run radio stations and, like,
who have nothing to gain from fudging the numbers.
Nothing to gain. The chart that week also had a new, and by the way, we're not saying that we're not saying that they would do anything bad, and we're also not saying that our chart, like the Hot 100, was like
a free-for-all,
like an invalid chart.
Right.
It's just we had more exact data.
And
now
it's also like human error, you
yes
know? An intern was probably put in charge of like logging the overnight songs played and whatever, and who knows, you know?
I mean, not to say there weren't some like kooky looking things on like the Hot 100 before then.
Sure.
But I think for the most part, the things that were hits were hits.
But now we had an unbiased computer monitor.
Yeah, we had numbers and charts to back us up.
Indeed.
The chart that week, on the week of the transition, also had a new number one, PM Dawn's Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, which climbed from number three to number one, bumping Michael Bolton's When a Man Loves a Woman down to number two. There were some noticeable big movers on the chart that week, both up and down in the wake of the change. In particular, rhythmic and rap-leaning singles tended to gain, fueled by sales that were perhaps underreported beforehand, while airplay-driven adult contemporary hits fell down the tally.
Wow.
It's actually, when you look at the chart, stuff like Marky Mark's Good Vibrations has like a 30 position jump.
Whoa.
All for One, like I Adore Mia Moore, like suddenly has a huge jump. Mm-hmm. And then things like by Curtis Stigers suddenly has a huge fall. Because no one was really buying Curtis Stigers, but his airplay was reported really high and he still had good airplay. It's just it was really hard to compete with all these hot selling, you know, rhythmic and rap titles.
Ka-singles.
Ka-singles. Those darn ka-singles back in 1991. So there you have it. This week, back in 1991, the Hot 100 stepped into the computerized era. Well, sort of a short show this week, Katie.
Well, just easing back into it over
here. We're easing back into it, I suppose. As we mentioned earlier, I'm quite excited about Women in Music.
Yes.
If you're listening to this before the big shoe, please make sure to tune in. You will see me hopefully be chatting with Selena and Camila and Kelly, all of which who have been previous Pop Shop guests.
Yes.
So hopefully...
Friends of the Pop Shop.
The friends of the pod.
Yes.
Hopefully... they remember me.
I hope so too.
That probably they'll all act like they've remembered
me. At least Camila should. She sat right here in a conference room with us in this very office.
Her and her mom came to the office.
Her and her mom. Oh, how sweet is that?
Isn't that adorable?
Kelly, however, have you spoken with her on a carpet before?
Oh no, so
because
she won't.
We talked on the phone.
She won't have the foggiest clue, but she'll be like the coolest lady ever.
Of course, as she always is.
I still want Kelly Clarkson. I want to like go and have drinks with Kelly Clarkson and Adele.
Sure.
Together.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine it.
Wow. Well, I think that's it. Any parting words, Katie?
I have to thank Jason taking over
Jason.
Last 3+ months. It was a huge help, and I'm happy to be back, but it was, I hope, a gift for the Pop Shop listeners who've been with us from the beginning when he started things with you.
Yes.
So it was like a little throwback.
I indeed, last week's show, it was our Thanksgiving show. Mm. I mean, we didn't really do anything for Thanksgiving, but at the end of it, I said I was thankful to Jason for coming back to help. And you, obviously you were busy with your baby, so you probably didn't listen to the show every week.
I should have while I was walking him, to be honest, but I didn't
every
week.
It's okay. We'll let it go. But there was actually 2 weeks where Jason and I got to do the show together live in person.
Oh, Oh, that's so great. When you were in New York.
And then the very next week, he came to L.A. for our touring conference.
Oh, yes, of course.
So we did back-to-back.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. It's much better, though, as I'm physically looking at Katie. Yes. It's much easier to have a conversation when the person's in front of you.
It's that way with interviews, also. When you're having them over the phone, there's always just a little bit of awkwardness where you're not sure if somebody is, like, ready to say something else. You're going to hop on their feet or whatever.
Or they've, like, muted you and they're eating Chinese food.
Exactly. Who knows?
Okay, so what song should we...
Oh, man.
I mean, something... Something by one of our ladies that we're honoring.
Yes, I like that idea.
Love You Like a Love Song.
Oh, that's a cute... Yeah, that's a good early Selena jam.
I think that was actually probably the first song, even though she had already released a lot of music before then. That was the song that made me a fan.
Yeah.
Because that was like the big breakthrough, I think, to me.
Was that a Selena Gomez and The Scene? Or was that just Selena Gomez?
No, I don't remember.
I think The Scene might have been involved in that
The Scene was still around. The Scene was still on The Scene.
The Scene was on The Scene.
Well, regardless, it's still a great song. So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Baby, I love you like a love song, baby. And I keep it now.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.